This morning, allow me to pray to preach to you from the book of Mark, chapter 8, verses 17 to 18. Mark chapter 8, verses 17 to 18. And the preaching that I'm going to share to you this morning is this: retrofitting a hardened heart. Retrofitting a hardened heart. Let me just read Mark 8, verses 17 to 18. Aware of their discussion, Jesus asked them, "Why are you talking about having no bread? Do you still not see or understand? Are your hearts hardened? Do you have eyes but fail to see, and ears but fail to hear, and don't you remember?" Let's pray. O most gracious Heavenly Father, we bow down our hearts before you again to acknowledge you, to thank you, Lord, to praise and to worship you for your faithfulness and goodness and mercy towards us, Lord God. Oh Lord, you brought us here at this place, at this time, because there is a purpose that you want us to understand. And that is to hear your words preached to us once again. Thank you, Lord. And so we bring to you our time together. Speak to us. Minister to us. Stir our hearts, Lord. And we ask, Lord, that if there's anything that we need to repent of, if there's anything that we must do and stand upon, Lord, let it be so that your will be accomplished, Lord, upon our lives, who will hear your words today. O most gracious Heavenly Father, be magnified, be honored in the preaching of your words, Lord. Most gracious Holy Spirit, be with us. Illumine our minds. Inspire us, Lord. Do not allow any distraction that will come before us so that we will not understand what you want us to understand. And so, Lord, we entrust to you our time together. Let your name be glorified, even in the results of this preaching, in the lives of your people, in our church, in our families, Lord. We pray all these things in the precious name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Sometime in 2015, one of our brothers, a civil engineer, notice something small and seemingly insignificant, a few hairline cracks in one of our building's floor beams. We didn't think much of it at first, but a deeper investigation revealed a concerning reality. Behind the smooth concrete, the structural rebars were being eaten away from the inside out, most particularly at the left side area at the back. It was a process called galvanic corrosion. Because of rain seepage through porous concrete, the metal had become brittle. It had hardened into a state where it could no longer support the weight it was designed to carry. The very thing meant to give the building strength had become its greatest liability. But praise God, after spending $11 million and with the help of a structural engineer and a retrofitting seismic company from Manila, we began and was able to retrofit our building to restore to its integrity. Like that building, my dear brethren, Many of us look monumental on the outside. We show up. We sing songs. We serve. We maintain the polished facade of religious life. But the rainwater of the world, the anxieties of life, the subtle leaven of the world, and the distractions of the flesh, such as undealt sin and compromises, has been seeping into the pores of our souls. Slowly, almost barely, our hearts have begun to undergo a spiritual galvanic corrosion. We have become brittle. We have the form of godliness, but we have lost the flexibility of a heart that truly hears, sees, and responds to God. And in Mark 8, Jesus looks at his own disciples and asks the heavy question that we must ask ourselves today. And it is my prayer, my dear brethren, that we will do an honest assessment where our heart stands before God today. And the question is this: are your hearts hardened? I emphasize that the cracks were small and insignificant to contrast with the terrifying reality found underneath. This mirrors how spiritual hardness usually starts small, my dear brethren. In engineering, integrity refers to structural soundness. In faith, it refers to consistency between what is the inside and what is the outside. I leaned more heavily on the word hardened in the engineering section to create a direct bridge to Jesus' word in verse 17. Are your hearts hardened? And then later on, as we progress, my dear brethren, we will see the word leaven. This word perfectly bridges the gap between the physical corrosion and Jesus' specific warning about the leaven of the Pharisees earlier in Mark 8. And just as usual, my dear brethren, let us take a look at the background and context of this book. The purpose of this book, it was written by Mark, no? And the purpose of this book was to strengthen the faith of early believers who were facing persecution, providing them with a clear and powerful narrative who Jesus is and what it means to follow Him. And the core theme of this book is that Jesus was presented as both the Son of God and the Son of Man. And the book moves quickly to demonstrate His authority through His teachings, His miracles, and His powers over sickness, nature, and even evil spirit. And in Mark 8, my dear brethren, in Mark 8, where we have our chapter, it focuses on the spiritual and political leaven that Jesus warned His disciple against. At this point, we are witnessing the crisis in the boat. And for us to be able to truly grasp the weight of Jesus' rebuke in verses 17 to 18, our passage for this morning, we need to take a look and understand the three-way collision happening in this chapter. Meron pong nangyayari dito na mga kaganapan dito po sa chapter 8. And what are these? We will see there the miracles that Jesus performed, the confrontation with the Pharisees, and the disciples' destruction. Just before this boat ride, Jesus had performed two massive creation miracles. Ano po ito, mga kapatid? Ito po yung the feeding of the 5,000 in a Jewish territory from 5 loaves and few fish. At meron pong naiwan dyan na 12 baskets full of leftover. And of course, we know that in the Jewish way of counting, they only count men, right? So, ito pong 5,000 na ito could raise to about 16 to 20,000 people. Okay? And then after that, he also fed 4,000. Now in a Gentile territory with 7 loaves and a few fish with 7 large basketful left over. Okay? Again, hindi lamang po yan 4,000. It could reach to about 12 or 16,000. Okay? Kung meron pong dalang pamilya yung mga lalaki doon, like 2 sons at saka yung asawa nila, it could reach to around 12 to 16,000. Okay? Now, I want you to think about this. The disciples did not just see these miracles. They participated in them. Amen po ba? They felt the weight of the bread in their hands. They saw the impossible happen, not only once, but twice. So please remember that account. And then we will see the confrontation with the Pharisees in Mark 8, 11 to 13. And this happened immediately after the feeding of the 4,000. And the Pharisees arrive and test him, demanding a sign from heaven. And you know what the irony here, my dear brethren? They are standing in the middle of a miracle zone. Yet they want a spectacular show in the sky. These people were so, their hearts were so hardened, so encased in legalism and pride that they couldn't see the Messiah standing in front of them. Kaya nga po dito mga kapatid, the Lord Jesus Christ sighed deeply. Alright? And this sigh is not an ordinary sigh. In Greek, it is called esdinazo. It is a groan of grief over their stubbornness and unbelief. And then after this, my dear brethren, Jesus and the disciples now, as they get into the boat to cross to the Sea of Galilee, dito na po inisyo yung pong warning in verse 15. Ang sabi niya po doon, watch out, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees in the leaven of Herod. So ano po ito? The leaven of the Pharisees, this is legalism and hypocrisy. It is the idea that you can earn God's favor through outward rules while your heart remains cold and apathetic towards God. Yan po yung leaven of the Pharisees that God is warning. Yung kanyang mga disciples. And then yung pong leaven of Herod. Ito po yung worldliness and secular power. Herod was so focused on politics, sensuality, and maintaining control and power. And we know how the leaven works. Ito po yung levadura, yung yeast, di ho ba? It is invisible, but it is pervasive. Just a tiny bit of cynicism, legalism, or worldliness can puff up and ruin the entire batch of tao. Yan po yung ating soul. So yun po, ano? Nakita po natin the miracles, the Pharisees, and then we will also see the blindness of the disciples. You see, the tragedy of Mark 8, 17 to 18 is that while Jesus is talking about spiritual survival, the disciples are arguing about a sandwich bread. Their problem? They only had one loaf in the boat. Grabe yung problema, no? Mga kapatid. Their bread of anxiety made them deaf to Jesus' teaching. At meron po tayong matututunan dito, mga kapatid, no? A hardened heart is always one that hates God. Sometimes, it's just a heart so consumed by daily survival and not having enough, or on death sin that it forgets the Creator of more than enough is sitting in the same boat with them. So, yun po yung aking introduction, mga kapatid. Let us now go to our message this morning. Titingnan po natin the anatomy of a hardened heart in verse 17 and the tragedy of a hardened heart in verse 18. Ito pong Mark chapter 8 verse 17 captures for us a painful moment in Jesus' ministry where he faces a deep sense of frustration with his disciples' lack of understanding. The scene unfolds after Jesus has just performed two extraordinary massive creation miracles. Feeding of the 5,000 and then 4,000 people from virtually nothing. Yet, my dear brethren, when the disciples forget to bring bread, they get caught up in worrying about it, missing the larger point of Jesus' presence and power. So, basahin po natin ang verse 17 again. Aware of their discussion, Jesus asked them, "Why are you talking about having no bread? Do you still not see or understand? Are your hearts hardened?" At dito po makikita natin, mga kapatid, it captures the tension between Jesus' divine power and the disciples' lingering lack of faith. Here, Jesus is trying to teach important spiritual truths about false teachings and their responsibility to evaluate religious leaders. Yet, the disciples discuss why they do not have enough to eat. And because of this, my dear brethren, Jesus abandons his intended lesson and goes back to the basics, teaching to lead the disciples to accept to remember what they should already know. So his first goal, my dear brethren, is to help them realize how hard-headed they are being. Kaya nga po, makikita natin dyan yung mga word, for instance, the word perceive. It is the Greek word noeo, and means to catch an idea and think about it and then act on it. Inelaborate ng Panginoon po yan sa kanila. The word understand is from the Greek word tsunami and means to reconcile different data points to come to a conclusion. And here, Jesus is accusing the disciples of being unable to process what they have experienced. Pati po yung salitang heart. Heart is from the Greek word cardia. Medyo particular po kami dyan ni Brother Joey tsaka ni Brother Bicoy. Cardia. But in the sense that Christ is talking about here, it is the center of life, emotion, impulses, desire, and ultimately character. And then binanggit niya po yung salitang hardened. It is from the Greek word poruo. And it literally means to be covered with a thick callus like an elephant foot. So, in a metaphorical sense, that callus covers the heart and mind, so a person is mentally and spiritually dull. But you see, my dear brethren, the charge here is more serious than merely being mentally incompetent. Hindi po, mga kapatid, because having a hardened heart is at least partially a choice. It is a choice, my dear brethren. And here, the Lord Jesus Christ is challenging the disciples to consider if they are intentionally rejecting the teaching He has just given them. My dear brethren, we are to check for food anxiety that hijacks spiritual lessons. Let me just repeat that. We are to check for food anxiety that hijacks spiritual lessons. The disciples worried about bread while Jesus taught about false teachings. When financial needs, deadlines, or daily needs dominate your mind during a sermon like this, when you are so distracted, going in and out, standing, in the middle of a sermon like this, maybe you are distracted. When your mind is dominated by distraction during your Bible study or even during prayer time, you miss what God is saying. When someone has to plead with you, please, brother, sister, come to a prayer night. Come to our prayer night. Come to our prayer morning special. Something is amiss. My dear brethren, practice pause. Practice pause and ask, am I too distracted by my lack of bread to hear the truth? You see, hearing the word is not enough. Hearing the word is not enough. Doon po sa TI, because we process multi-million dollar projects, we are so concerned about human errors. Because if there are human errors, it will cause so much disruption that will derail our processes. And so we have this code, this program called PAUSE. PAUSE. Ito po yung PAUSE talaga, literal. Alright? And then assess. And then understand. And then solve. Saka ka palang mag-execute. At maraming beses po kaming na-eliminate or napiprevent ang human error. So sa atin din po, mga kapatid, you see, hearing the word is not enough. If you perceive that God is asking you to forgive someone, to reconcile, to give generously, to be diligent in your disciplinary process, kung nag-undergo ka ng disciplinary process, The cycle is not complete until you act. You've seen God provided before. You've read His promises. You've experienced His peace, His deliverance, His moving, His salvation. And then when a new crisis hits, the exhortation is this: lay those data points side by side and ask this question, am I too distracted by my lack of bread to hear truth? Yes, my dear brethren, hearing the word isn't enough. Hearing the word isn't enough. We are to guard against calloused, hardened heart. Do you know that calluses form through repetition? Hearing truth without responding repeatedly dulls you. Hearing truth without responding repeatedly dulls you. If you notice yourself saying, I've heard this before, with no change, that's spiritual callousness. So what can we do? Confess it, my dear brethren. Ask God to soften specific areas in your life. Cynicism toward church, bitterness, rebellious spirit, or complacency. And like what I mentioned earlier, my dear brethren, hardness is often a choice we justify. We rarely wake up saying, you know, I'm going to reject Jesus today. Do you? Do you? No, right? It's slower, my dear brethren. Skipping conviction, rationalizing sin, choosing comfort over obedience. Yan po ang issue, my dear brethren. So today, this is my exhortation. Do a heart check. Where am I intentionally avoiding what I know He's said, my Christ has said? You see, the Pharisees feared Jesus because Jesus threatened their power. We fear He threatens our comfort, our reputation, or control. So, go back to basics when you're stuck. Kaya nga po, dito sa ating pong lesson, Jesus abandoned the advanced lesson and He returned to the basics. So if you're confused, spiritually dry, or stuck in sin, don't hunt for deep new revelation. No, revisit the basic. Who is Jesus? What He did to you? What does it mean to follow Him today? You see, the gospel often cures callous hearts. God has all the right to bring us to hell because of our rebellion and sin against Him. Because we are accountable to Him in His holiness necessitates to punish us with hell for all of eternity. But what did He do for us? He waived His right and even waived the very life of His own Son to die for you and for me on that shameful Roman cross, to pay the penalty of our sins, to satisfy the justice that God requires for our sins. That's what He did for you and for me. Go back to that truth. You could have been wailing until now to the muddy clay of this sinful, wicked world, lost and hopeless and helpless. But God, by His mercy, send His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to become man like you and me, to live a sinless life on our behalf and die for you and for me. And He rose again to secure our salvation. Go back to that truth, because gospel clarity often cures callous heart. Amen po ba? Parang galit na po kayo sa akin. You see, Mark chapter 8, verse 17 serves a vital reminder to us today. Kaya nga po, ito, makikita natin dito. Jesus asks a series of rapid-fire questions. What are you talking about? Having no bread? Do you still not see or understand? Are your hearts hardened? Sunod-sunod po yun. Na tinanong niya ang kanyang mga disciples. You see, hardened heart is a spiritual thick skin, kalyo, that prevents the truth from penetrating. Remember, the disciples were not evil. They were just distracted by the physical. So when we obsess over our lack, we become blind to His presence. The Messiah sitting in the boat with us. In Hebrews chapter 3, verse 13, ang sabi po doon ng manunulat ng Hebrews, but encourage one another daily so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. So yan po yung anatomy of a hardened heart. So let's go to the tragedy of a hardened heart. Now, while Mark chapter 8 verse 17 asks the why, Mark chapter 8 verse 18 gets specific about the how. So now Jesus points to the sensory organs, the eyes and the ears as metaphors for spiritual perception. Kaya nga po ang sabi niya diyan, alright, do you have eyes but fail to see, and ears but fail to hear? And don't you remember? So here, after watching the disciples' commotion over the fact that they had forgotten to bring bread, Jesus now opened their eyes to the fact that they are being dull. Here, He continues His questioning to accuse them of not paying attention. Again, binanggit po niya diyan, eyes. It is from the Greek root word of thalmos. Although it means someone's literal eyes, it also represents a person's ability to know something. And similarly, nandiyan po yung salitang see. It is from the Greek root word blepo. It is similar. It means to see or able to understand, to contemplate, and to examine. And then ears. Okay? Yung po, it has similar literal and figurative definition. And then the word remember. It is from the Greek root word mnemoneo, and it means to call, to recall to mind. Balikan mo. At dito po, maunawaan natin, mga kapatid, that the disciples have such a rigid idea of who Jesus is that they have not been able to reconcile his actions with their preconceived ideas of him. Kaya nga po, in response, in their mind, they have rejected the evidence in front of them. They seem to notice those things that appeal to them, like Jesus rebuking the religious leaders in Mark chapter 2, 18 to 28. But they got confused over events like Jesus interacting with the Syrophoenician woman in Mark 7, verse 24 to 30. To them, it doesn't make sense. But they miss the nuances of his purposes as it is revealed in the very acts of power they witness and taken part in it in Mark 6, verses 17 to 13. And here, I want you to take note of this, mga kapatid. Okay? I want you to take note of this. Ginamit po ng Panginoon yung salitang do you instead of can you. It indicates that this behavior is at least partially intentional. Mga kapatid, we are guilty of the same behavior. It is easier to take the bits of Scripture and of Jesus that agree with what we think of God. It's harder to incorporate His truths with our established worldview. We, like the disciples, have a choice as to whatever we trust God's truth and our own interpretation. At dito po, kinol ng ating Panginoon ang mga disciples. Because they are stuck in a loop. They seek miracles. They hear His teaching and still obsess over forgotten barley bread. And the issue here, my dear brethren, is this. It isn't capacity, it's attention. They filter Jesus through rigid expectation. And sometimes we do the same. For instance, you notice what fits your narrative, but miss what challenges it. At doon nga po sa example natin kanina, the disciples noticed Jesus rebuking the Pharisees because it fits their Messiah versus the establishment, versus the Roman Empire script. But they puzzle over him helping a Gentile woman because it doesn't fit. Sa atin po, sometimes we scroll over past conviction and double tap encouragement. You remember the sermon on grace, but forget the one on repentance, for instance. Your eyes physically read the Bible, but your understanding only engages and agrees on what you already agree with. Amen po ba? And James has a warning for us on this. Sa James 1, 22 to 24. Ang sabi po doon, do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. He is someone who looks like at his face in a mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. In your prayers, or devotions do you selectively call to mind? At dito po ang tanong ng Panginoon, don't you remember? Not because you could, but because you don't. Sinasadya. You'll recall God's provision last year when you need hope, but forget it when you need to give generously or, for example, to be reconciled with your sister or your brother. You remember His Savior, but forget His Lord when He asks for obedience. Sa Psalm 103, verse 2. Psalm 103, verse 2. Praise the Lord, my soul, and forget not all His benefits. Ganun din po sa Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 2. Remember how the Lord your God led you all the way into the wilderness to humble and test you in order to know what was in your heart. My dear brethren, the disciples rejected the evidence in front of them because Jesus didn't match their preconceived ideas of Him. God may use a person you dislike correcting you. He may answer prayer through a fashion that does not fit your style. He may grow you through suffering, not success. If your ears only hear what confirms your theology, you will miss His voice. If your ears only hear what confirms your theology, you will miss His voice. In Isaiah 55, verses 8 to 9, Isaiah 55, verses 8 to 9. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than yours. Also, the writer of Proverbs exhorts each one of us again from chapter 3, verses 5 to 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to Him. So, what is the necessary heart check we need to do? Do you or can you? You see, my dear brethren, maganda po na balikan po natin yung pagkakagamit ng ating Panginoon diyan. He used the word do you because it indicates that this is partially intentional. Yes, my dear brethren, spiritual dullness is often a choice. It is easier to select scripture than to submit to it. So the question for us now is, where am I choosing not to see? Am I ignoring commands about money, about relationship, about forgiveness, about giving, about evangelism? Because they don't fit my worldview. In Hebrews chapter 5, verses 11 to 14, we will see this. We have much to say about this, but it is hard to make it clear to you because you no longer try to understand. Anyone who lives on milk, being still an infant, is not acquainted with the teaching about righteousness. John 7, verse 17. Anyone who chooses to do the will of my God will find out whether my teaching comes from God or whether I speak on my own. The key, my dear brethren, this morning is chooses to do. Yan po ang key dyan. By the grace of God, we choose to do. We choose to obey. And this is the bottom line for each one of us. You have eyes. You have ears. You have the faculty. You have the grace to understand. The issue is what you do with them. We're all tempted to take the bits of Scripture and of Jesus that agree with what we think of God. But you see, my dear friends, maturity is letting His truths edit your worldview, not the other way around. Amen po ba? Are you still with me? Yung iba po ay ano na, nandun na sa season Pangasinan. Then ask this question. Oops, sorry. Ask this question. What is my forgotten bread? The worry distracting me from Jesus. Very practical po ito, mga kapatid. What did Jesus do in my life last month that I'm not calling to mind? What teaching of Jesus am I puzzle over or ignoring because it doesn't fit me? So, let's bring this home, my dear friends. You see, the cracks in our building were small. The disciples' anxiety about bread was small. But you see, small, untended things are how hearts harden. Jesus' question in Mark 8, verse 17, cuts through every age. Are your hearts hardened? You see, this is not an accusation for an enemy. It's a rescue for us. It is a rescue for us. He asked it in the boat with men who had just handled miracle bread, yet forgot the miracle worker beside them. And you know what? My dear brethren, hardened heart is dangerous because it blinds you in plain sight. That's the question from our Lord. Do you have eyes but fail to see and ears but fail to hear? In verse 18. Yes. Hardness isn't atheism. Hardness isn't atheism, but it's a spiritual amnesia. You can sit in the same boat with Jesus, hear His voice, watch Him provide, and still panic over one loaf. The reign of anxiety, the leaven of the Pharisee legalism, the leaven of Herod, worldliness seep in quietly. Galvanic corrosion doesn't announce itself. It just makes the rebar brittle. You know, a hard heart still performs, still sings, still show up. But it can't bear weight anymore. It has a form without flexibility, religion without response. Hardened heart chooses what to remember. And Jesus said, and don't you remember? In our lesson, the tragedy isn't that the disciples couldn't remember. It's just that they wouldn't. Ayaw nilang balikan ang paalala ng Panginoon. Because hardened heart really selects its memories. It recalls the shortage, not the surplus. Amen po ba? It remembers the demand, not the deliverer. And you know what? Over time, that thick callus covers the heart, the center of life, until truth can't get in and worship can't get out. That's the danger of a hardened heart. So it is my belief, my dear brethren, this morning, that we are being exhorted to keep today a soft heart with eternity in view. If corrosion happens slowly, so does retrofitting. Praise God, He doesn't condemn cracked beams. He restores them. And we are being exhorted today that we need to cooperate with the divine master structural engineer. How? Mga kapatid, at kung meron po kayong natandaan sa akin pong lahat ng nasabi dito, ito po yun sana ang tandaan nyo. Unang-una, let us run daily diagnostics, assessment. Where we are, is our hearts hardened? Hebrews 3:13 says, encourage one another daily so that none of you may be hardened by the sin's deceitfulness. You see, concrete doesn't heal itself. Neither do hearts. So let the Word of God, let the Holy Spirit and the body of Christ inspect your inner structure. Ask, where am I worrying about bread while Jesus is talking about leaven? Confess the small cracks before they become structural failure. Huwag mo nang antayin na maging structural failure pa yan, kapatid. Remember on purpose. Kasi, dito po sa ating napag-aralan, mga kapatid, Jesus tied hardness to forgetfulness. So that's why we are to remember on purpose. Fight it with memorial stones. Paano ka kinilusa ng Panginoon? Paano ka iniligtas ng Panginoon? Paano nag-provide ang Panginoon sa iyo? Paano kanya iningatan kahit nung hindi ka pa mananampalataya? If you ever come to think of it, the Lord took care of you even when you were rebellious and sinful before Him. Amen po ba? Until you get to know and come to know the Lord through His gospel. Remember those. Huwag mong kakalimutan yun. Put it always in front of you so that you will not compromise.
Sa Psalm 103 verse 2, forget not all His benefits. It's a command. Huwag mong kakalimutan, kapatid. Keep a record of your provision. Have a journal of how the Lord answered your prayers. Paano siya nagkaloob sa'yo? Preach your history to your anxiety. So when the next lack appears, place it beside the 12 baskets and the 7 baskets. Amen po ba? Do you get it or don't you? What I'm saying here, my dear friend, is this. If He was faithful with 5,000, He's faithful with you. Eternity is secured by a cross and an empty tomb. Today, today's bread is not in question. Amen po ba? Let me just repeat that. Eternity, our eternity, is secured by a cross and an empty tomb. Today's bread is not in question. Remember on purpose. Refuse the leaven. Choose the bread of life. The leaven of the Pharisees says, perform. The leaven of Herod says, possess, control. Jesus says, partake of me. John 6:35, I am the bread of life. Mga kapatid, a soft heart is a hungry heart. A soft heart is a hungry heart. It stays tender by daily feeding on Christ. Kaya sinabi ni Kristo, abide in me. For apart from me, you can do nothing. It stays tender by daily feeding on Christ, not by managing appearances. Legalism hardens you into brittle pride. Worldliness hardens you into brittle cravings, but beholding Jesus makes you and keeps you bendable, able to be shaped by His hands. Ano pa po, mga kapatid? Live with the end in mind. You see, galvanic corrosion only matters because buildings are meant to stand. Hard hearts only matters because eternity is real. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 18, ang sabi po doon, so we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. Since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. One day, my dear brethren, one day every hidden beam will be exposed. Every loaf we obsess over will be ash. What will remain is what was built on the rock. So today, let the groaning of Jesus in Mark chapter 8, verse 11, His deep sigh over hardness, break you before the judgment of God does. Huwag po natin antayin. Yung great sigh, great groan of our Lord Jesus because of our hardness of hearts. So, my dear brothers and sisters, church, the same Lord who multiplied bread in your past is in your boat now. Before you, He was faithful. Amen po ba? Before you were even created, He was faithful. And after you, He will remain faithful. What makes you think that He will not remain faithful now? In your time, in our time. The same Lord who multiplied bread in your past is in your boat now. He is the same divine engineer who diagnosed. Okay? Just like that engineer who diagnosed our building's corrosion can retrofit your soul. So, don't let the rainwater of this age make you brittle. Don't let the leaven of destruction make you blind. Instead, see, because we have eyes. Hear, because we have ears. Remember, because He has done everything faithfully for us. And when He asked this, do you still not understand? Answer with a soft voice, in all humility and brokenness, in all surrender, Lord, we believe. Help our unbelief. Soften me now that we may stand then before you. For we are not building for time. Not for this time only, mga kapatid. We are being built for eternity. Do you realize that? We are being built for eternity. Living stones in a house that no corrosion can touch. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 5, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual household or house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. So let the retrofitting begin. Amen po. So can I just ask our praise and worship?
Let us pray. O Lord, we desire that we will never lose wonder of the great salvation that we have in Christ. For you are our treasure. Jesus. treasure, Lord God. You are the door to the Father, the living water, the bread of life, our guiding light.
Grace for the guilty.
Gracious Heavenly Father, it is our prayer, Lord, that our Lord Jesus Christ was honored, revered, and feared of, Lord, through the preaching of your word this morning. And that as a response, Lord, help us to continue to live out our lives for His glory. Lord, enable us to be humble before you every day of our lives, to abide in you, Lord, to avoid having hardened hearts, Lord, but to be maximized for your glory. Allow us to remember these truths in our lives, Lord. Lord, it is our prayer as well that your name be magnified, be glorified, be exalted in the result of this preaching. Thank you so much, Lord. Lord, even as we give our tithes and offerings, let you be exalted as well because you have blessed us. You enabled us to do these things, to obey your command, to give back what is due you. And we ask and pray that you bless each one today, Lord. All these things we ask in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. Thank you po. Good morning.